what it means to be in Christ. And not only that, but in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and then on to 10, it tells us that we were created for good works that God prepared beforehand. And in Christ, each of you are a piece of work of God. And you have certain work that we need to be about and to be doing. Shining our light, to be salt, to be a witness. We also called to be disciple makers. Dr. Higgins spoke 2 weeks ago about what? I thought it was an awesome sermon. Being a bond slave. That you in Christ are called to be a slave. Fully and wholly committed to Him. We also then talked about being a soldier. And I'd like us to finish that up today. And so we're going to look at that. And we're going to go down through there. Just keep on going, Lisa. Okay, slow down. There we go. Okay, yeah. Great job, Lisa. Glad we got you on the controls. You hit it right on. Soldier needs to know the source of the battle. What are the three areas that we fight against? Who's the bad guy? There you go. We got him. What's some problems we got? Okay, our fleshly, sinful desires. And then how about as we look around the world? The worldly desires, all those things that can pull us away from the Lord. For you, Lisa. We also need to know, know the spiritual weapons. And we looked at Ephesians 6 for that. There you go. Today we're going to talk about a soldier obeys commands. And I love to, I don't know, for some reason in the Christian realm, for brothers and sisters to salute them. And when I do that, it's a sense of saying, carry on, to continue to follow Christ, to obey Him. And I've never been a soldier, but I love soldier movies and stuff. And, they have certain phrases that they use. And maybe Troy can help me out, but they say, ten, hut! And you have to come to attention. And they say, at ease. And you take a step out and rest. Okay? They have different things that they say in the sense of to arms. The sense that now it's time to fight. They have the phrases of, hey, watch the left or the right flank. And I like that in the sense of, you need to cover my right and my left. And that's how the Christian family works. That we are called to obey our commander in chief, Lord Jesus Christ. But also we are in this battle together. Do not be mistaken. We are not battling one another. We are in the struggle together and we need to come together. Now, I found a great gem in this 1 Corinthians 16. At the end of 1 Corinthians, basically, Paul is finishing up his letter. And he's addressing different people and calling people to prepare for their coming or leaving or understanding their character. But for some reason, at the end here, he sticks this in here. And I love this, and I use this in my men's group because it reminds me of soldiering up. Okay? Let's go ahead and read this together, everyone. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. Everybody feeling comfortable today? Okay, everybody stand up. We need a little soldier activity here. Let's read this one more time. At least men. Okay? Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. Do what? Thank you. I'm glad you said it. You can sit down. If not, we might have gone through it again. To be soldiers. Now, in here, we basically have how many commands? Don't say it. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them how many commands we got here from Paul. And then also, tell them what it is, okay? If you don't have a neighbor, Go stand the neighbor. If you want me as your neighbor, come on up. Now that was pretty easy, right? That wasn't too difficult. You wish all of your final exams were like that. Now don't move back to your seat. Stay next to your soldier, okay? We got five commands here. And it's interesting that out of these five, how many are one word Greek words? Now we don't know, man. The English, they don't have it. It's interesting because Greek can take all of it and put it in one word. Actually, in here, there's three of them. Three one single word Greek words, and we'll talk about those. But it's interesting because it basically says, watch, stand faith, man up, strength, and then do everything in love. Okay, and we're going to talk about it. First, be on your guard. It's a word used of the eyes. To watch, to be attentive, okay, to be ready. In the army, they say, it's your watch. You got the first watch, the second watch, you take the third watch. Okay? In the Old Testament, it talks about a watchman on the wall. It's a person who guards the city and looks out. We need to be on guard. How many of you have ever seen blind guard? Okay, if you have seen them, they haven't seen you, so don't worry. Okay? If you're playing capture the flag, you're not going to blindfold the guys guarding the flag. Guards are on the lookout. Are you on the lookout? Are you keeping your eyes open? It's interesting that this Greek word is also used in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Good stuff. Jesus is about to go to the cross, but before that, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. Who's he go with? Goes with his disciples. And what is Jesus' main purpose there? He's going to be praying. He's coming before his Father. And what is the thing that he tells and uses the same word three times to tell his disciples? Watch. 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 Be on your guard. And a lot of times, I'm sure they're just thinking, man, I'm tired. I'm going to go lay down. I don't need to be watching. Jesus, He'll take care of the praying stuff. Watch, and it says, watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. What do we guard? What are we guarding? What are we protecting? Sometimes it talks about faith. Faith in who? God or Jesus. And in that, it's just not, I believe in this chair. It's going to hold me up. When we talk about faith, we talk about a relationship. And so what we are guarding or we are watching over is our relationship with Christ. Because in that relationship, we believe it is life. What are we watching out for? What are we guarding against? As Jesus says here, watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. Temptation leads to sin. Sin leads to separation from the Holy God. And separation from the Holy God who is life leads to death. Now, a lot of times, we look at it and we see it just in the general sense. Ooh, temptation, like playing too many video games or alcohol. But in general, and even deeper, is a sense that we need to be on watch for our faith and our relationship with God. How many of you wake up in the morning and you say, that's the most important thing that I need to watch today? No, most important thing I need to watch today is this TV program, this movie, this YouTube clip. watch, be on guard for your relationship with the living God that gives life. Next, Paul commands us as soldiers not only to be on guard or to watch, but to stand firm. Stand firm in our faith. Faith is a relationship with God. Okay, what does that say? Believe, have faith. Say, have a relationship with the living God, because that is what gives life. In this, it's meaning to persevere, to stand and not be moved. It's like a rock, a big rock, that you're not going to move. Need a volunteer? I'm choosing Lydia if she's here. Lydia? Basketball illustration. Lydia, stand straight up. There you go, nice and tall. Whoa, she easily fell over. You see that? Stand up, nice and tall. On your tippy toes. There you go. Oh, she easily fell over. Lydia, stand firm. What do you want to do? You want to spread your legs, lower your center of gravity, and get ready. Okay, I'm not pushing her around because she stood firm. Unprepared. Prepared. Oh, didn't prepare. Thank you. You can sit down. How many of you have been to Taipei? 101. Taipei 101. How many stories? 101. There we go. How many underneath? Five. But who really cares? Because if the foundation is not strong, it's going to fall over. How deep is the foundation? Take a guess. How many feet? 200. Good. Point one. 262. It's amazing how long, if you ever watch buildings go up in Taipei, you're like, what are they doing? Nothing. What are they doing? Nothing. You can't see them. They're all underground. They work for like 2 or 3 years, and then all of a sudden something goes up. They're building the foundation. 2002. 6.8 magnitude earthquake. They weren't all the way completely done, but they said cranes on the 57th floor fell off, two of them. Five guys died. Checked the integrity of the structure. Sound. It swayed, but it did not fall. Braveheart. As far as I understand this scene, right, he's yelling, stand firm! Be strong! For the cavalry is charging. And at the last second, they lift up their poles of great length. Brothers and sisters, are you soldiering? Are you standing firm? Because if you're not standing firm, what are you doing? The opposite of standing firm is falling. Slipping. In the Christian world, we call backsliding. Not the moonwalk. You're just falling back. It's like climbing a mountain. Up a hill. It might be a little slick or muddy. And instead of proceeding forward, we're falling back. We're not holding our ground. We're not standing firm. Are you prepared? Because this is where the problem comes in standing firm. If you're prepared, I'm not moving, Lydia. She's not falling down so easy. And this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10. He says, so, if you think you're standing firm, if you think that you're doing so well, be careful that you do not fall. And then he goes into the whole temptation thing. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful, will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, you also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. It's interesting how he begins it with, you think you're standing firm, be careful, and then do these things to stand up. Are you standing firm? Many of us, we just go into our own thing. Oh, I want to do this. This is what I want to say. This is who I want to be, and I don't really care. And boom, you fall. You don't think you fall, but you do. And when you think you don't fall, you just continue to do whatever you want to do throughout life. Be on your guard. Stand firm. What are we standing firm for? Right? As Christians, who really cares if we stand firm or not? Do you? Stand firm for our relationship in Christ. Is it your all in all? Is it the number one thing in your life? Your number one priority? What are we standing against? What are we protecting ourselves from the knockout blow? Again, same temptations that lead to sin, the separation from God. Satan pushes and attacks in many different ways. Lies is a great one. Worldly desires are always there. I mean, I would encourage each of you above your computer to write, be on guard. Watch. And I'm not saying watch whatever comes up. I already talked about what we need to watch against and stand firm again. That's one word in Greek, watch. Stand firm in your faith. Because quickly, and especially men, we know, pornographic things can pop up. An email from Susie. Whoa! That's not the Susie I know. At any time, are you standing firm? Do you put your nose to the ground? Do you walk away in your struggle against sin? You've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your own blood, Paul says in Hebrews 12:4. Are you willing, as a soldier, to shed that blood? To have that sacrifice to stand firm? It's interesting, Ephesians 6 talks about our what? Armor of God. Put it on. And I never really get this guy. I mean, how many times does he have to say stand? Therefore, put on your full armor of God so that when the evil day comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. Like, gosh, the guy's obsessed with standing. But it's not the standing like we say. He's saying, stand firm, get ready, for the attack is coming. And it's not one of these things where, you know, the enemy rolls up like in the old days. You know, everybody lines up, looks at one another, makes the assessment, says, we're going to lose, but let's do it anyhow. It's, you don't see it coming, and you get blindsided. So you got to be watching, preparing, standing firm. You can wear the face paint if you want. Be on your guard. Stand firm. Next, he says, be men of courage. And here, it's interesting because it's a single Greek word. It says to make a man. The only thing I can get, and I was like so pumped when I saw this. Like, yeah, it really is biblical to say man up. That's just what it's saying here. Become a man. Be a man. Man up. That's what the Greek word's saying. And connected with that, I guess, is this understanding of courage. And so in this, we need to have courage. And I love the word to be encouraged. Because that's what we need to be doing as brothers and sisters on a daily basis. To put courage into people. To do what? What's the purpose? To have that relationship with the living God. We don't need to discourage people. You need to follow Jesus. And your singing was bad today, so you don't need to sing anymore. You know what? You're just not going to make it. In fact, you screwed up on that one note I heard. I have no idea if you screw up or not on notes. When it comes to singing and music, I don't know. I'm just praising Jesus. We need to encourage, to put courage, to say, to man up. I don't know how we do it with the women here. It just doesn't translate. We can say, woman up, whatever that would mean. But to be encouraged, to move forward. I think of these words. Buck up, little camper. I don't know if you ever heard that one. Sometimes, like, suck it up. Come on. Guys, when they pump weights, I remember in high school, the guys would stand over you. One more! Come on, one more! Be a man! You're like, ah! But what they were trying to do is encourage you. I don't know if we should have done this, or I did this with my son. I just got done watching the movie Remember the Titans. In one of those scenes, one of the coaches, assistant coach, says, okay, because champions pay the price. And so when my little son was born right after that, I was like, come on, little guy. Champions pay the price. He's like, ha-ha. He don't know what's going on. I'm pretty soft with him sometimes, sometimes not. I like John Wayne's comment about courage. He says, courage is being afraid, but saddling up anyway. You know, each of us are going to have fears in our life. And so brothers and sisters need to come alongside us and help us destroy those fears. But at the same time, sometimes brothers and sisters aren't going to be there. So we need to saddle up anyways. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. The Greek here is just strength. To make something strong. To increase in strength. And one word about this is a lot of times in the Christian world, how do we live with strength, but still this humbleness and showing mercy and grace? You know, that becomes a bit confusing. But I like what Rick Warren says about the word meekness. And I share this with my men's group. Meekness is a sense of not weakness, but a strength that is under control. He says one thing about this word meekness is a sense of the word to tame a wild horse. Horses are just amazing when you look at their bodies. I mean, you get these little stringy legs come down, but just covered or rippled with muscle, able to sustain speeds of 40 miles per hour for great distances. To tame this wild horse. Another meaning they're saying, a fever that is able to rampage and kill a person. It's used, this meekness word is used for that, to tame or to bring a fever under control. So in the sense that God and our strength that He's given us has called us to use that strength under control. Some points about this. Don't compromise your convictions. Okay? Don't compromise your convictions. To be passive and just let people say whatever they want to say without sharing what you're convicted about is not good. But at the same time, don't do it in an anger, in an emotional setup. Just express it in a strength under control. Number two, don't be a victim. Some of us, not all of us, have come out of a life and a background where victim has become our identity. But each of us have a choice to deal with that past. And then choices to face it. Instead of Victor Frank, this famous psychiatrist who came out of the Nazi concentration camps. He was saying that they took my clothes, my wife, my kids, my wedding ring. He said, I stood naked before the SS, and I realized that they can take everything in my life, but they can't take away my freedom to choose how I will respond to them. Strength under control. Choosing to obey Christ and respond in a Christ-like way. When someone disagrees with you, to be tender with surrender was one tip that Rick Warren gave. That we don't need to retreat in fear, we don't need to attack in anger, but we need to move forward in love. Which leads us to our last area. Whoops, we've gone too far, Lisa. Still too far. Do everything in love. The last command. To do everything in love. That is a challenge. That is a challenge. And a lot of times, just to love a person, but to have the strength to be a man, gets complicated. So we need to practice this meekness or strength under control. We need to struggle and fight with our brother and sister, not against them. We struggle and we fight against the evil one, but not against our brother and sister. And this might sound strange, sisters, but I really encourage you. Men need a lot of encouragement when they're called to be strong, called to be men in the Christian life. And you know what? A lot of times, sisters, you look at a brother and you're like, ah, get out of the way. You're not doing that right. I can do it better. And you know what? Yeah, you probably can. And you know what? You can probably do it a lot faster. But what you just did is cause that guy to take a step back, say, whatever, takes another step back, whatever, and the stripes are taken off the soldier. No longer does he want a warrior for Christ. No longer does he want to be a soldier. But he just wants to go sit down with the remote control and watch TV. Now, that might sound strange. You may not get it all. But I really want to encourage you, sisters, to help the brothers to continue to move forward in their walk with Christ, even though they may not do something as fast or as good. What else do soldiers do? Lisa gave you some hints already. Next, they fight. Christians fight? Heaven forbid that we would ever take up a fighting mentality. But we need to fight. Paul says to Timothy over and over again, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Again, what are we fighting for? Our relationship with Christ. It's not anything above and beyond that. It's that simple. Because if you don't have that, you don't have anything. To fight for a relationship with Christ. The word means to contest or contend, to compete, to strive to obtain something. We need to fight against Satan. We need to fight against worldly desires. Fight against sinful fleshly desires. To take a stance. You know, some people, I gotta actually tell them, when you pray, don't close your eyes and fold your head in that. You know, if you're praying about humbleness and you need to be humble, that's great. You humble yourself before the Lord. But if you're fighting a battle, you look up, you hit your hand, and you say, no more. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, no longer will sin conquer me. We fight against the evil one. And we must proclaim it out with what the Lord has given us. Epaphras. Who is this guy? Epaphras. Colossians. His name shows up as one of these things like Paul does in 1 Corinthians, comes to the end, gives a list. He's a Colossian Christian. He's a fighter. He's a warrior, a soldier. And his name becomes worthy. In fact, he is a bond slave. Who talked about that? Dr. Higgins. What'd he say? He said that we as bond slaves have no rights. How many of you would like to say that? I have no rights. The only right you have, the one, is to obey Christ. To obey Christ. And he says, in order to understand how to be a bond slave, we need to understand how to humbly submit to God. And most of us, he said, are okay with that. But he said, you also have to learn how to submit to one another. Epaphras. Here he is. Colossians 4:14. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings. Always laboring earnestly, remember those words, for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. Laboring earnestly shows up as this great Greek word that says fighting for you in prayer. How many of you fight in prayer? If it's not on your radar, Pastor Kurt's here today to tell you you need to be fighting in prayer. Fight for yourself. Fight for those around you who do not know Christ. Fight for your fellow believers who need to be on guard. Stand firm. Be men of courage and strength. Do everything in love. To fight in prayer. Soldiers not only fight, sometimes soldiers retreat. And these two last ones are going to be pretty difficult to talk about. That's true. Soldiers retreat. Dr. Higgins, I talked to him about this sermon. He says, actually, retreat for a soldier means advance to the rear. A different take on it. When we retreat, some of us, truly, we are getting beat up in the world. Our families are getting beat up. Our children are getting beat up. We're getting beat up by sin. We're getting beat up by the personality that was formed from since age 8, 10, whatever your age was. And we continue just to live in it. But what Jesus wants you to do is take a step back, humble yourself, and repent. To say, I don't have it all together. I got some problems. So does everybody else in the world. And I need your help, God. And as we take that step back, we're able to forgive and ask for forgiveness. We're able to do what repentance means, to make some changes. Changes are okay. It's good. Not only do we need to humble ourselves and repent, but retreating is for some purpose sometimes of healing and rest. If you're wounded and you don't take time to heal, that wound is going to take a long time to get better, and many times it's just going to get worse. In fact, that's why they just don't keep all the wounded soldiers on the front lines. Come on, buddy, let's charge the hill. I have no foot. That's okay. You'll do great. Come on. But I'm also missing this hand. That's okay. Come on, get into it. What's wrong with you? Doesn't make sense, does it? We would send those who are wounded to be healed, to get some things changed. Got to be honest, one of our problems is we don't know when to retreat. A lot of us, we're in the battle. I'm going to continue in the battle when Jesus is saying, no, you need to retreat. You need to humble yourself and repent. You need to be healed and rest. So then, you can go into the battle with your brothers and sisters and fight the good fight. The truth is, the church a lot of times is filled with wounded soldiers who are wounding others. We need to have a place in the church where we understand we are both advancing and attacking only against the evil one, and a place here in the church that people can humble and repent, to heal and rest and find safety in that, so that we can fight again. Not only do we fight and sometimes we retreat, but ouch. Sometimes soldiers surrender. And this is a confusing one. Whoops. You didn't like that word, surrender, huh? I don't like the word surrender. Who likes to say yield? Driving on the highway, you got your speed up, you're hitting that on-ramp, and all of a sudden the yield sign comes with grandma coming in. More like, get out of my way! There's a good yield and a bad yield. A good surrender and a bad surrender. You have to understand the difference because you are not in the world, you are in Christ. And in Christ, we have to understand when He calls you to surrender, you salute and say, yes, sir. That my heart and my will, my attitude, my pride, all of my sin, everything I have, my house, my family, I give to You, Lord Jesus. Because the fact is, if we don't surrender to Him, we will surrender to Satan. Because it's all about one thing. Your faith in Him. Your relationship with Jesus. That's what you're guarding against. That's what you're standing firm in. That's why you're being strong and being a man. It's all about Him. The bad surrender is when we surrender to Satan. When we surrender to that world desires, oh, there's the Gucci bag for $80. I could buy the Walmart bag, but I'll go for the Gucci bag. Fleshly desires. Oh, Susie. That's not the Susie, but I might talk to her anyhow. Not to surrender. To soldier up, to press on, to be on guard, to keep your watch. Because too many of us are taking the flag and waving it and saying, I surrender my life to You, Satan. And we wouldn't say that directly as that, but our actions show it. We take our families and surrender them to Satan. Our marriages, and we say, I'd rather do this than spend time and hard work on my marriage. Our sons or our daughters. How many, don't raise your hand, don't raise your hand. How many of you have your mom and dad where their marriage relationship isn't really great? Will you pray for them? I don't care if it's good or not. Maybe it's super. So pray for them. Because marriage is the most difficult relationship that you'll ever be in. It's like going to college and getting a bad roommate and then choosing the next semester. I don't want to change roommates. That's fine. But marriage, I don't like my roommate. I can't change. Fight for your mom and dad. Intercede for them. Pray for them. Be a warrior. Be a soldier for Jesus. And don't raise the white flag to Satan ever. Take that white flag and give it to Jesus. And you take that white flag that you ever think you're going to give to Satan, you burn it. Paint it red, paint it black. Do not surrender to the evil one. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask that on every heart you would put the seriousness of this message to be a soldier of Jesus. That with a meekness and a strength under control, God, that we would come along the left and the right flank of a brother or sister and encourage them to put courage into them to live for Jesus, to have that relationship for Jesus above all else. That we would not come here on Sunday just to talk about things of the world, but we would say, how is your relationship with Jesus? Are you in the foxhole with Him on a regular basis? God, that you would keep our eyes largely open to be on guard and keep watch. Lord, that you would help us to stand firm, set that foundation deep in you, Jesus. To be men and women of courage. To be strong, Lord. God, to do everything in love. We will not surrender, Lord. And we will retreat as we hear your voice. God, help us to soldier and fight for you and for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.